You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's time now for the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. A practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained and the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all and want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. I come to us live via live stream from Italy. Actually, I have a confession. We will not be with Mother Gabriel Marie, but we will be with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will today. So we're going to have a bunch of fun. We're going to begin with prayer, and we're going to use a supplication for our prayer, and it's going to be found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just so grateful to be here, grateful to God, grateful to Radio Maria for this opportunity, and grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And believe it or not, truly blessed to be alive at this time. Really, really, think about the opportunity that God is giving us in this chaos, in this confusion. And then Jesus says that all this confusion is just because the new era is coming. The new reign is coming. The divine will is coming. People are panicking. This sinful way of life is going to come to an end. So they're sort of grabbing all the gusto they can. Again, some knowingly, some unknowingly. And we pray for our brothers and sisters. And, you know, it's interesting. We took off last week. The first time we took off in quite a bit of time. And I had personally a little bit of a family reunion. And I recognized that, you know, when we're with people, you know, we bring the divine will no matter where we are. And it's not something we carry in a bag. It's something we carry in our heart. And the divine will doesn't always have to be spoken about. We don't have to keep saying the divine will, you know, Luis, you know, sort of pushing it all the time. It's like St. Francis, pray always and sometimes use words. We interject it when we can. We never diminish our prayer life. So when we're eating, come divine will, eat in our eating. When we're driving, come divine will, drive in our driving. And it becomes contagious. It becomes contagious to us, and it also becomes contagious to those around us. So fear not. God is with us, and he brings us, we bring him into all environments, good, bad, or indifferent. So that being said, hello, sisters. It's great to have you, minus Mother and Sister Francesca. But like that song, I will survive, and we will survive.
Hello, Peter, and hello, everybody.
Hello.
Don't know why I say goodbye. I just keep going to that song.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for your patience with us. We'll try the best we can. We rely on the Holy Spirit, and so we trust in the Holy Spirit. But listening to your talk earlier, Peter, about, you know, that it summarized St. Francis was saying, you know, go preach the gospel, go share the divine will, but if when necessary, use words. That's what comes to me. And, you know, little story here. When we were at Medjugorje this time, you know, we were asked, not this time, but the previous time, and Sister Benedicta and I went to Medjugorje, and we were asked to do a talk on a small group of Irish people. And we were there just, you know, I mean, when we talk about the divine will, we cannot help ourselves being joyful. I don't know what it is. It's kind of like when you're in love with someone, and when you share about that love, you just all of a sudden forget about anything else, but you just remember the joy in your heart that you are in love. And in our case, you know, we have fell in love with Jesus. And when we talk about the divine will, it just comes out. And then after the talk, this older man, I mean, he's not really old, he's probably in his 60s or 70s. As I was walking back.
Hey, watch your language. Older man. Okay, sorry.
No, he's like, oh, this is like that. And anyway, he's wise, yes. And he walked back to the hotel because it was kind of like late at night. It was like 8:30 or 9. And he said, okay. And while we were walking, he said, you know, sister, I am an ex-priest, Catholic priest. He said, I was a Catholic priest, and I read this book of divine will. I didn't finish reading it. I just read a portion of it, but I stopped because I couldn't understand it. And so I just was not interested. But he said, but witnessing you talk about it and the joy in your faces and the excitement that you feel, it makes me want to go back, because it's got to be, you know, there's got to be some truth in that. Otherwise, how could you look like you have this peace and joy and genuine happiness? So it's true. You know, when we live our life, I'm not saying that we are perfect. We have our faults. But the truth is that if we desire this living in the divine will and doing and reading it and putting it into action, like the rounds, go returning to God, our love through creation and doing the rounds. Like Mother always says when she's here, you know, she always says, do your acts and rounds, because that is one way of returning to the Father, the love that he has for us.
It's so true. Actually, you know, what we try to do here on this School of Mary program, we try to begin with sort of a theme or a topic, and then we recognize that in that topic, as the sisters share their passages and their reflections, that everything is going to be conducive to that topic, no matter what the topic is, as long as it's good, wholesome, and not sinful, of course. And the one thing that, you know, meditating yesterday, I came upon this passage, volume 18, August 9th, 1925, and it explains to us how requiting God in love for all creative things enters the first duty of the creature. So a lot of times, you know, we hear through Father Iannuzzi's programs, you know, living in the divine, learning to live in the divine will, Mary, Mother of the Divine Will program. We have Father Young's archived Divine Will programs, and of course, our School of Mary. And we're talking about the divine will. We're talking about what Jesus is bringing to us, what God is giving to us, what our Blessed Mother is doing for us. We're always talking about what they're doing and not what we should be doing, and what is the response, not the reaction, but the response that God is looking for in us. And it's really very simple. It's found in volume 18, August 9th, 1925. I'd like to just grab an excerpt if I may. So again, this is Louisa questioning herself, but she's really not questioning herself. She's asking these questions or having these doubts on behalf of us, those questions and doubts that we are going to have. So he's sort of preempting the question through Louisa so we can answer it. So we have the answer before we ask the question, something like that. So this is what our blessed, not blessed, but this is what Louisa says. She says, first, my Jesus, give me strength. You see the great repugnances I feel in writing, and that could be us in reading and studying, such that if it wasn't for blessed obedience and for fear of displeasing you, I would not have written a single word anymore. Your long privations daze me, and they render me incapable of anything. Therefore, I need to gather help in order to put on paper what your holy will whispers to me. Therefore, give me your hand and be always with me. Then she goes on to say, while I was fusing myself, again, we have to fuse ourselves with God. And we do that in the morning in our Prevenient Act. And it could be something just as simple as, Lord, I want to fuse my human will with your divine will so that your divine will may reign in me. It could be something just as simple as that, but you can be as elaborate as you wish to be. So while I was fusing myself in the holy divine will in order to requite God in love for everything he had done in creation, again, making these rounds, as Sister alluded, that Mother constantly reminds us of, for good reason, had done for love of creatures, a thought was telling me that it was not necessary to do that, that this way of praying was not pleasing to Jesus. See, she's doubting what she's been taught, not because she's doubting Jesus, but she's doubting herself. And we do that also. So then Jesus comes in her interior, where he speaks to her and to us, and says, quote, my daughter, you must know that this way of praying, the rounds, that is to requite God in love for all things created by him, is a divine right, and it enters the first duty of the creature. The first, he didn't say one of the first, he didn't say one of many, he said the first. And we can do that in the morning. Thank you, Lord. I awakened today. It's gratitude. Remember, he speaks to Louisa about in his humanity, the greatest suffering he endured was the ingratitude of creatures. Nobody or very few were saying thank you. Look at the lepers. One came back. Where are the other nine? They were also healed. Ingratitude. So then it goes on to Jesus saying, creation was made for love of man. Even more, our love was so great that if it had been necessary, we would have created as many heavens, as many suns, stars, seas, earths, plants, and all the rest, for as many creatures as were to come to the light of this world, so that each one of them might have a creation for herself, a universe of her own. End quote. It's like you go into the ocean, and in essence, you can say the ocean is mine, because it is. The only caveat is we don't say it's mine, but nobody else can be in this ocean. No, we say this is my ocean, and that is his ocean, and that's her ocean. And we look at the sun, that is my sun, but it's also his sun, her sun. It's the sharing of God's communal gifts. It's beautiful. And again, it's making the rounds. It's saying, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Thank you, Lord, for this roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, for my lungs breathing, my heart beating, and my blood flowing. That's all it is. It's a simple thank you. And that's what opens up, as Jesus states, it removes the bars that are preventing the grace and graces to overflow in each and every one of us. It's astonishingly simple, but yet so complicated. Sister?
Yes, that's true. And I actually read a little portion of what you read, Peter, on August 9, 1925, and that's volume 18. And here, following the paragraph, Jesus told Louisa, my daughter, all created things were nothing other than the one act of our will, which released them. They cannot move nor change the effects, the positions, and the office with which each one of them received by its creator. They are nothing other than mirrors in which man was to admire the reflections of the qualities of its creator. Somewhere the power, somewhere the beauty, in other created things, the goodness, the immensity, the light. In sum, each created thing preaches to man the qualities of its creator and says with mute voices how much I love him. And there we go again, you know, that the creation that God created, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of these possess qualities of God, but they cannot contain everything because God is so immense. But this is God's way of communicating to us. And it is our right to return to God the love, the glory, because when we do that, because even us, we cannot possess the immensity of God. So we can possess it through doing the rounds, putting our I love yous, our thank you, through each of these creations, so then it makes it complete. And we do this out of the love of God, because these things created only for the love of man. And even also there's a portion here, Peter, on that same volume, same passage, or the same day, he said, and if it seems that man lacks something or that hardship in life, it is because of sin. So in other words, if our human will dominates and not fusing in the divine will, and we don't give thanks accordingly to the love that God gave us, then that's when we feel sad and we feel all the turbulence of our life. Any sisters want to share?
Yes, I'd like to share. This is Jesus' own word and how much he loves the books of heaven. So this is from volume 23, and Jesus said, my daughter, if you knew how much I love these writings, they cost me more than the very creation and redemption. How much love and work I have put into these writings, they cost me very, very much. In them, there is all the value of my will. They are the manifestation of my kingdom and the confirmation that I want the kingdom of my divine will in the midst of creatures. The good that they do will be great. They will be like suns that will rise in the midst of the thick darkness of the human will, like lives that will put to flight death for the poor creatures. They will be the triumph of all my works, the most tender, the most convincing narration of how I loved and do love men. Therefore, I love them with such jealousy that I will keep them in my divine heart, nor will I permit even a single word to be lost. So this is really like how much Jesus loved these writings and how he really wants us to read and spread it to people so that the kingdom of divine will reign in us. And like you said, that it is our primary duty to give thanks and honor to God. And one way of doing it, I mean, it's the best way to do it, is the round, eggs and rounds. And here's another, it's a really good anecdote that Jesus gave to Louisa. It's in volume 24. It happens as to a king who is served by a page boy of his with all the things that are in his royal palace. Even though they are his own things, the king feels honored, because if he drinks, he drinks his pure water in golden vases, clear and clean. If he eats, the food is worthy of him, and is given to him in silver platters. If he clothes himself, he is brought royal garments that befit him as king. The king feels all pleased and satisfied because he is served with the royal things that belong to him. On the other hand, another page boy serves the king. But when the king wants to drink, he goes to his own miserable home to take his turbid water and brings it in vases of clay, not well cleaned. If the king wants to eat, he goes to take his own unrefined food and in disgusting plates. If the king wants to clothe himself, he brings him unadorned garments unworthy of a king. The king is not pleased nor honored in being served by this page boy. Rather, he remains with a pain in his heart and says, how can this be? I have my own royal things, and this one dares to serve me with the miserable things of his own. Mm-hmm. So really, even though like we try our best to give thank and honor to God, if it's out of like human will, mm-hmm. human acts, it doesn't really like, it's not worthy of a God. And, you know, he's the king of kings, and he deserves all the best, the royal acts, and not our human acts, but the divine acts. So as Jesus taught us, if we do it in the divine will, it becomes a divine act. And when we offer him the royal acts of his divine will, only then God feels truly honored, because it's worthy of our king. So we got to keep following acts of divine will in all creation and bring them as homage to our creator.
Amen. Yeah. You know, Sister Magdalena, what you were reading from August 9th is so important about, you know, the sin, you know, sort of putting the bars, preventing God's grace from coming. But he also continues, if I may, he said, you know, about not requiring God, not giving this return of love to God in everything that he's done for creation, as Jesus was, it is the first fraud that the creature makes against God. Fraud is terrible. Yes. It's not real. It's being phony, false, fake. And again, part of that is what God incorporates into the lukewarm. Yes, we say we're Catholic. We say we're Christian. We say we love you, but we do something else. God is bringing us back.
Yes. And to continue that thread, he said, but there's one woman who did it perfectly. And that is a blessed mother. He said, yes, it's me and my mother.
That's right.
She is the only one that did it perfectly. And so Mother Mary and Jesus prayed for all of us. And even he tells us down here, then you need to imitate me and my mother. Pray with us. Do these acts with us. Then we can go. And I continue. Let me just read the passage that follows after it.
Please.
After her. Yes, it was exactly my celestial mama who filled heaven and earth with the return of all that God has done in creation. After her came my humanity, which fulfilled its duty to sacrosanct, in which the creature had so much failed, and which, through me, rendered my celestial father favorable towards guilty man. So it was through my prayers and those of my inseparable mama, don't you want then to repeat my own prayers? Even more, for these I call you into my will, that you may associate yourself with us and follow and repeat our acts. This is truly, truly, like Sister Gloria mentioned earlier, you know, it's not good to return to God phony things or human acts, no matter how great it is. If it's human, it's phony. I mean, there's some value to it, but it's not going to be the kind of love that God wants from us. It has to be through the divine will, and that's calling the acts of Jesus and Mama Mary to act in us. Right, Peter?
And then, humanly only is going to be tainted with our human will, for sure. Good point, yes. Sister.
Yes, and then at the last of it, I just would like to share, because it is so beautiful. And he said, but in creating man, there was not only our will, but an emanation which came out from our womb, a part of ourselves which we infused in him. So God has already infused this gift, whether we like it or not. It is given to us out of love for his creation. This is why we created him with a free will. Remember the book of Genesis. we created him in our likeness and image and likeness with free will, so that he might grow evermore in beauty, in wisdom, in virtue. In our likeness, he could multiply goods, his graces. This goes back to what you said about the sun. If they have a sun will, the star will, they would probably multiply itself a million times, but they don't have the gift of free will. We are the ones who can do that. And he says here, so that we can grow, we can multiply. Okay, so and I'll continue here. And he said, oh, if the sun had the free will, okay, I think we finished that. Okay, yet as if all that was created for him were not enough for our love, in order to preserve his free will, we gave him the greatest gift, which surpassed all other gifts. We gave him our will as preserver, antidote, prevention, and help for his free will. Because our free will, because of the fall, it's no longer pure. We are more inclined to commit sin. Our human will is so strong. But fusing it in the divine will, which starts from desire. And with the desire, we pray with Mama Mary and Jesus. And we pray, our desire is increasing. And then we read, study the Bible, the church teaching, the books. And then as we study, as we learn, we apply it to our lives. We do acts and rounds and calling God to act in us. It will grow exponentially. And a lot of times you don't even feel it. How often sisters and I were talking about this not long ago. We don't feel when we do acts and rounds, but it doesn't matter. There's more merit to it, actually, because now we're no longer doing it out of good feeling, but we're doing it out of pure love.
Yeah, let's just cut out one sentence you said there, or a sentence and a half, that God, Jesus said that this is the greatest gift that I'm giving. It's the gift that surpasses all other gifts. Okay, if he says that, it really comes down to, do we believe that? If we don't believe that, move on. But if we do believe that, stop everything. Game over. Start over. And we have to believe in him. And again, this is the requiting of love. Trust is a beautiful antidote to fear. It is the antidote to fear. It's all here for us. And it really is very simple. It's just so hard to break through the ice. But once we do, we get the fresh, clean, cool water. Scissors?
Do we have time?
One or two.
Okay.
We have about 2-3 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, just connected with what Sister Madalena was saying, from volume 16, September 6, 1923. When love ceases, sin begins. The reason why Adam sinned. In fact, do you want to know why Adam sinned? Because he forgot that I loved him, and he forgot to love me. This was the first deed of his fall. Had he thought that I loved him very much and that he was obliged to love me, he would never have decided to disobey me. So love ceased first, and then sin began. And as he ceased to love his God, true love towards himself also ceased. His members and powers rebelled against him. He lost dominion, order, and became fearful. Not only this, but true love toward other creatures ceased. While I had created him with the same love which reigned among the divine persons, by which one was to be the image of the other, the happiness, the joy, and life of the other. This is why, in coming upon earth, the thing on which I placed greatest importance was that they love one another as they were loved by me, in order to give them my first love, to let the love of the Most Holy Trinity hover over the earth. Therefore, in all your pains and privations, never forget that I love you very much, so as to never forget to love me. And as daughter of our will, you have the task to love me for all. In this way, you will remain in the order and will fear nothing. So what really struck me here is the word forget. So Adam forgets that God loves him. So this forgetfulness, and how many times, you know, we forget also, like, to do acts and rounds, of course, and how many times, like, this forgetfulness really is a kind of... yeah, but of course, God is merciful, and he doesn't take into account, you know, when actually the will is not connected to it, you know, to commit a sin, to go against the will of God, our will needs to be involved. So I was just thinking, you know, well, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. You know, when we don't know, like, and how much more we are responsible now when we know about the divine will, like when we know how much important it is to read it, when we know how much important it is to do the accent rounds, and we still don't do it, you know, like really all of this that we were saying now. And also I was thinking, imagine, I mean, when the warning comes, when the illumination of consciousness comes, and everyone will know clearly, you know, where they offended God, and you know, there won't be, okay, I didn't know, or I forgot, or, and still some will choose to be against God, even, you know, like experiencing and knowing all of that, but they will choose to be against God. I mean, but yeah, well, we don't know, and the God's mercy is so great. And, but like, we are also kind of obliged, responsible to pray even for that. There's one beautiful prayer in this Divine Will prayer book, like to pray also for the souls who are in the on the way of perdition, of losing themselves, like to make acts of reparation to substitute for their acts. I invite you all to pray for that souls. Thank you.
Amen. You know, Sister Magdalena, you mentioned about Jesus stating that we have this divine will. It's been given to us. It's in our DNA. God didn't take it back from Adam. He sort of just disconnected it. he disengaged it. And he's waiting for the generation to come that can reengage what's already been given to us. And he says it's been 6,000 years since he and his mother, his blessed mother, have been traveling around the world, around the galaxy, around everything, to dispose souls, to be given to us everything needed in order to receive this gift, to accept this gift, and to apply this gift. And he tells Louisa and tells us, the time is now. It's finally done. We finally arrived. Now we're going back to the other side, finally.
I'm free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. And, you know, we're talking about the divine will, of course. That was Christina Lemway with her song, Finally. Christina is a Christian artist and musical artist and also a personal friend. So kudos and thank you for using that song, Christina. You know, Sister, you before the break, you had read from that passage, quote, that so these were my prayers and those of my inseparable mama. Don't you want then to repeat my very prayers? And of course, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes, of course we do. But how do we find them? Well, there's a book called The Echo Book. And it's available on many websites, but I'm more familiar with our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's in the Divine Will Resource Library page. And the Echo Book is a compilation of all the prayers that Jesus and our Blessed Mother have given to Louisa. So, of course, we want to echo what was given by Jesus himself, by Mary herself. And, of course, we can make our own impromptu prayers. So it's there. It's all there, including the 36 volumes in both text and audio. So, and everything's free. Freely given, we give freely. Back to you, sisters. Oh, you muted the sister. Let me just try it again. Not yet.
Oh, now can you hear me?
Okay. Yes.
Sorry about that. Okay, well, yeah, the good thing about doing that to Peter is not only like imitating how to pray, and we're doing this in divine will, it has all the values that comes with it. Like it has a creative value, it has a redemptive value, it has all the good things that Sister Dora mentioned earlier about, you know, there are those who do not know it and maybe going to perdition, but through our prayers in divine will, that will change everything, that will turn hardened hearts. I mean, we can guarantee God only knows that, but we just have to remain faithful. Like you said, we have to really be faithful and believe. And that there is a power in the prayer of Jesus and Mary. So here's a sister, Jacinta.
Hello, Sister Jacinta.
Hi. Yeah, so in this passage from March 15th, 1912, volume 11, Jesus tells Louisa about how the divine will is the sanctity of sanctity. So Jesus tells Louisa, my daughter, my will is the sanctity of sanctities. The soul who does my will, however small, ignorant, unfound, leaves the other saints behind in spite of their prodigies, sensational conversions and miracles. Rather, in comparison, the souls who do my will are clean, and it is as if all the others were at their service. So when I was reading this, I was just thinking about how Jesus told Louisa in another passage, how the greatest saints will be are yet to come, like they're the ones who will live in the kingdom of the divine will. And they'll surpass the saints of the past. So they'll make the saints of the past like look like little shrubs. I don't remember exactly which passage from. So that's what it reminded me of. So like even though our acts in the divine will may be very small, they have great value. They have very great value in the eyes of God. And continuing on with this passage, it seems that the souls who do my will do nothing. Well, they do everything because being in my will, they act in a divine manner, in a hidden and surprising way. So they are light that illuminates, they are winds that purify, they are fire that burns, they are miracles that make others to miracles. And this reminded me of how Louisa was in bed for most of her life. And in a human point of view, it looks like she was doing nothing. But in reality, she was doing everything because she was doing all these acts and rounds with Jesus. And she was traveling everywhere with Jesus in the divine will. And so skipping down, Jesus also tells her that the souls who live in the divine will, they're the true living hosts. This is why I can surely say that they are my true hosts, but living hosts, not dead ones. In fact, the accidents that form the host are not full of life, nor do they influence my life, but the soul is full of life, and by doing my will, she influences and concurs with all that I do. This is why these hosts consecrated by my will are more dear to me than the very sacramental hosts. And if I have reason to exist in the sacramental hosts, it is to form the sacramental hosts of my will. So when we live in the kingdom of the divine will, then we'll be those true living hosts. And as it's said here, we'll be more dear to Jesus than the very sacramental hosts that the priest consecrates at Mass, because we'll be the living hosts. And Jesus also told Sister Faustina in the diary about being living hosts. And just this last part right here that Jesus tells Lisa, "My daughter, I take such delight in my will that in simply hearing one speak about it, I feel overjoyed, and it called the whole of heaven to make feast." So when we talk about the divine will now, all of heaven, they're happy and they're excited and they're looking, so they're all overjoyed and they're excited, and all of heaven is making feast when we talk about the divine will.
Yeah, can you imagine that he actually says that Jesus says that he enjoys, it delights him to hear the creature use words, whether it be subliminally or verbally. But think about that. How often do we misuse words? Remember, he says, "I'm spying." It is nice. He says, "I'm spying on you. I'm listening." So we ought to be on our guard a little bit. And that's going to help us, I think, be less sinful and more holy, and perhaps gravitate toward him and not toward the world. Hello, sister.
Hello. Yes, I find that really beautiful too, about how God is love and his love is throughout everything that he's created, but especially as his beloveds, as his human creation. And we read, you know, scripture, and it's his love story for us and his redemption and his creation, his redemption. And now this knowledge in this book of heaven, it's really heaven on earth when you read it, because it's realizing, oh my goodness, you know, just his love is endless. And I was reading kind of similarly about living hosts, but it talks about in volume 20 from November 10th, 1926. This passage talks about being a flower of perpetual adoration to your creator. Arise from the depth of your soul. This is why it is the prodigy of prodigies. The living in my will is the true triumph of the supreme fiat, because the soul becomes the reflector of her creator and of all our works. In fact, only when it places in the soul what it can and knows to do, then our will triumphs completely. And it says too, Jesus speaks about, it doesn't want to see her not only in the one who created her, but in all of his works. So I think that goes back to why we say our rounds and acts. It goes back to just responding to his love. And that's where we, as his beloved, that's where we experience even just his love even more. It's like, you know, people talk about having an attitude of gratitude, right? And kind of going back to what you're saying too about gratitude. And when you see it, when you have that awareness, like Louisa talks about, and what Jesus talks about being aware to, basically all the I love yous he's put before us that he wants us to be aware of, and his will. And when we see those I love yous, we get that chance to share our I love yous back in whatever we're doing, wherever we are, and how much that is adding to just the joy that we can experience. And I also think about, we were talking as sisters about I think it was about like the fig tree and just like the fruits, and how this is in a sense kind of the fruit of the tree of that God has planted long ago, you know, right in the beginning, like of creation in our souls. And it's coming, and in his perfect timing, like it's still kind of a mystery, like why are we we're unworthy, but the Lord is making us his tree, I guess, of divine will. And And just, it's so beautiful because it is such a gift. And when you receive a gift, all you can do is really, you know, soak it in and say, I love you, God, and thank you. And with your love, because, you know, like we're talking about, our love is usually tainted with our own self-interest or with our own, pride, going back to Adam and disobedience, and how when we can love with the Lord's love, we can be free, and we can be able to produce those fruits.
Yeah, it is a gift. It's a mystical gift. And we know that mystical gifts are not given equally, like our baptismal gifts. They're given by God to whomever he pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he pleases. So we have to recognize that we have been given a mystical gift. We've been introduced to the divine will. Now it's up to us sort of what we have to do. Now, sister, you also mentioned about Jesus saying that this is the prodigy of prodigies. Okay, time out. Prodigy of prodigies. Do we believe that? Is Jesus a fraud? Of course not. Are we defrauding him by not understanding that? Possibly. Again, God's going to judge us on how much we know. But the more we know, the more we're responsible. In fact, he says in volume 28, August 2nd, 1930, and in my sorrow, I am forced to repeat what I say in the gospel. And I do it indeed. I take away from those who do not have or might have a little something of my goods. And I leave them in squalid misery because not wanting them and not loving them, these would hold them without esteeming them and without fruit. And I will give more abundantly to those who have, because these will hold them as precious treasures, which will bear fruit more and more. End quote. A lot is on the line here. This is everything. Back to you, sisters.
Speaking of fruit and mystery and all these gifts that we cannot even imagine, I would like to share with you a passage which I also meditated on not long ago, and it's on April 29th and 38, volume 36. And it goes to what we say about the importance of living in the divine will. And here, it mentions about Jesus, you know, as we remember, he hangs on the cross and he says, I thirst. You know, he said here, the pain that most transfixed me on the cross was my ardent thirst. I thirst. Please give me a little drop of your love to soothe my ardent thirst. So he thirsts for souls, for our love. And then he says, give me your steps, done for love of me, to quench my thirst. If she works, I ask for her works, made only for love of me, to cool my burning thirst. If she speaks, I ask for her words. If she thinks, I ask for her thoughts. As many little drops to refresh my ardent thirst. It wasn't just my mouth that was burning, but all my most holy humanity felt the urgent need of refreshing bath for the ardent fire of love that burned within me. And since it was for the creatures that I was burning in the excruciating pains, only creatures with their love could quench my ardent thirst and to give my humanity a refreshing bath. See, all of our acts, walking, everything, that's what Jesus wants, because he thirsts. If he wants to quench his thirst, that's really, and it's not difficult. The hardest part is not remembering it. That's basically, I think, at least for me. And then it continues on, he says, my daughter, and this is Jesus telling Louisa, in my resurrection, the right was given to creatures to rise again in me to new life. It was the confirmation, the seal of my whole life, my works and my words. If I came on earth, it was to give to each and everyone my resurrection as their own, to give them life and make them rise again in my own resurrection. But do you want to know where is the real resurrection in the creature? Not in the end of her days, but while she is still living on earth. One who lives in my will rises again to light and says, my night is over. Now, this is too good to be true, really, because we talk about resurrection. Someday I'm going to resurrect with Jesus Christ. He said, no. When you live in the divine will and you put your acts and I love yous and thanksgiving, everything in divine will with my mother in this deposit, which is already in the church. We're talking about the mystical gift, the unbelievable gift, the fruit that Christine mentioned earlier about the fig tree, which when the tree was growing before the fruit, it's like, okay, what's going to happen to this tree? The fruit comes out, the flower and the fruit. It's like, you know, wait a minute. This fruit doesn't look like the tree. Yes, it doesn't look like the tree, but it is part. It is coming from the tree. And that is the fruit that we delight, we taste, and we enjoy so much. So, you know, this gives me a very, very exciting moment to where we are actually going to be called to the resurrection. Yeah, I'm thinking about Jesus came to the world. He became flesh. The word of God became flesh. And then he resurrected, and upon his resurrection body and soul, he continues to walk. He continues to eat with his resurrected body. I ask myself, why is that? Because God wants us to also do the same, fusing in his act as a resurrected Lord. So when the Lord resurrected and do these acts, we are called to fuse ourselves in that act. Now, this is too good to be true, but, you know, I have to believe it.
Yes, and you know, you made a very important point there, sister. You mentioned about what has already been given to us. Again, Article 66 protects us here, because a lot of times when we're sharing this gift, someone may say to us in response, well, there's nothing new. Everything for salvation has been given to us. And that's true. But like Father Anuzzi explains to us, it's like a flower. The church has been looking at the flower for 2,000 years. Then all of a sudden, the divine will comes, and it acts as if it's a magnifying glass. Well, now we take that magnifying glass, we look at the same flower, and voila, what do we see? We see the fuzz on the petals. We see the photosynthesis. It was all there always. We just couldn't see it. Now we're seeing it. And that's Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism. It states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand what has already been given. End quote. Here we are.
Thank you, Peter, because I was wondering what the catechism was, 66. It's always been there, and Jesus revealed it while he was on the earth. But in time, you will come. And this passage that I got from volume 23, February 5th, 1928, it really assures me that it will be done, that his will be done. This is a solemn promise in the Our Father of the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And this is a little long passage, but I will read it. My daughter, as Adam sinned, God made him the promise of the future Redeemer. Centuries passed, but the promise did not fail, and the generation had the good of redemption. Now, as I came from heaven and formed the kingdom of redemption, before departing for heaven, I made another promise, more solemn, of the kingdom of my will, and this was in the Our Father. And so as to give it more value and to obtain it more quickly, I made this formal promise in the solemnity of my prayer, praying the Father to let his kingdom come, which is the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. I placed my very self at the head of this prayer, knowing that such was his will, and that, pray by me, he would deny me nothing. More so, since I prayed with his very will, and I asked for something that was wanted by my Father himself. And after I had formed this prayer before my celestial Father, certain that the kingdom of my divine will upon earth would be granted to me, I taught it to my apostles, that they might teach it to the whole world, so that one might be the cry of all, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A promise more sure and solemn I could not make. Centuries are like one single point for us, but our words are accomplished acts and facts. My very praying to the celestial Father, let it come, let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, meant that with my coming upon earth, the kingdom of my will was not established in the midst of creatures. Otherwise, I would have said, my Father, let our kingdom that I have already established on earth be confirmed, and let our will dominate and reign. Instead, I said, let it come. This meant that it must come, and creatures must await it with that certainty with which they awaited the future Redeemer, because there is my divine will bound and committed in those words of our Father. And when it binds itself, whatever it promises is more than certain. More so since everything was prepared by me, nothing else was needed but the manifestation of my kingdom, and this I am doing. Do you think that my giving you so many truths about my fiat is only to give you simple news? No, no. It is because I want everyone to know that its kingdom is near, and to know its beautiful prerogatives, so that all may love, may yearn to enter, to live in a kingdom so holy, full of happiness and of all goods. Therefore, what seems difficult to you is easy for the power of our fiat, because it knows how to remove all difficulties and to conquer everything the way it wants and when it wants. So really, like when the disciples asked how to teach them how to pray, this was the only prayer that Jesus taught. So he wouldn't have said it unless it will be accomplished. But actually, it is already accomplished, and because God already, Jesus already said it, so it's a done deal. So our Father, he said, not my Father, but our Father. So he includes us in that prayer. So he can really do anything in any time, and that's why we've been praying this prayer for 2,000 years, and now it's truly the time, and we are so blessed to live in this time. So he really wants us to give us the kingdom of divine will.
So here we are. We're actually talking about the divine will. We're speaking the words of Jesus, the prodigy of prodigies, the gift of gifts, and as if it can't get any better. And now we recognize through Jesus' words that this divine will is the fulfillment of the Our Father prayer. This is incredible. This is everything. Sisters, we've got about 2 minutes.
Just 1 minute.
Okay, so just coming back to what Sister Madalena was saying at the beginning of, about Our Lady, and we were talking just about that today. I was reading today how, you know, Luisa was lamenting to Our Lord how she's doing nothing, and how come, this sanctity is above other sanctities. How can it be? And Our Lord says, my daughter, when a sanctity is individual for a time and a place, it has more of external prodigies in order to attract those individuals, places, and times to receive the grace and the good which that sanctity contains. On the other hand, the sanctity of living in my will is not an individual sanctity assigned to doing good to certain places, to certain people, and to certain times. Rather, it is a sanctity which must do good to all, in all times and in all places. So Our Lady did that to the fullness, like to the perfection. And he said, there is an example of my mama, true sanctity of the living in my will. Her interior all eclipse in the eternal sun of the supreme volition, having to be the queen of the sanctity of the saints, mother and bearer of my life to all, and therefore of all goods, she remained as though hidden within all, bringing good without making herself recognized. More than silent sun, she would bring light without speech, fire without clamor, good without exposing herself. There was no good which would not come from her. There was no miracle which would not spring from her. By living in my will, she lived hidden within all, and she was and is the origin of the goods of all. Yes, thank you.
Do I have 1 minute, Peter? Just one last word. Okay, let's think about your prodigies. This is so exciting because you talk about the souls in heaven already. These are the souls with God, and this is what the soul says in heaven. It is a soul who lives in the divine will on earth. What prodigies, what wonders, how enchanting the scenes, a breathing that breathes in all, even in its creator that moves in all, even through heaven, in the stars, in the sun, in the air, in the wind, in the ocean. It takes everything in the hand of its own motion and gives to God love and adoration, all that everyone should give but has never given. She gives to all her God, his love, his will, and she brings everything to God and God everything to everybody. So this is really so beautiful, because doing in the acts of the divine will, even the saints in heaven, they were so happy and even feeling more greater glory when they receive our divine, our fusion in the divine acts. And that Amen. It goes to everybody.
This is it. We finally arrived. This is it. This is God's going to bring us back. We thank God for everything that he's done. He continues to do. We thank Radio Maria for this opportunity. And God willing, we'll be back next week. Love everyone. Love one another. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.